Okay, let's go ahead and open up to Matthew 26. And I thought today, it seems like an odd question here, but as I said in the prayer, it's important to remember that his birth into the world, Jesus' birth in the world, is really mostly important because it leads to that cross. In Israel's prophetic program, it's the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham that he himself would enflesh himself into the line of David. That's what happened in the incarnation. That's the birth of Christ. But he did that so that he could save Israel from their sinful predicament. He could fulfill Israel's Davidic covenant, Israel's national salvation package, and he came to be their redeemer on that cross. And of course, Paul takes that truth and he expands it way beyond that, where in the Gospels, Christ came to die for his friends. In the Paul's epistles, God reveals he came to die for his enemies and provide salvation to his enemies. And of course, Paul, the chief enemy of God at that time, the chief persecutor of Christ and his people, the leader of the apostate nation, he came down, and when he should have come down and struck Paul dead and all his followers, instead he saved Paul and sent Paul back to the apostate nation, and as we're reading about in Romans 9 to 11 on Thursdays, sent him back to that nation to proclaim to them salvation. And that's what he's doing today. That birth is just a stepping stone to go to that cross. So what I thought we'd do today is look at this idea. When did Jesus actually die on that cross? When was he die and bury? What day was that? And the purpose is that this birth was supposed to lead to a death. Let's just go to Philippians. Keep your finger in Matthew 26. We're going back there. But let's go to a very familiar passage, Philippians 2. Philippians 2, and let's just see how Paul describes what Jesus did when he entered into the line of humanity and went to that cross. Let's see the chain of events here. Verse 6, Philippians 2, verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was absolute deity with all the privileges, all the prerogatives, all the advantages of being deity. But he didn't use them for his own advantage. What did he do? But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's why he came in the world. That's why we celebrate, especially this time of year. Of course, we should celebrate it every day of the year. But now during this Christmas season, his birth into the world, it's just a stepping stone to what he came, why he did that. He came to do that, to be obedient unto the Father, unto death, even the death of the cross. And so that's what I want to look at today. Let's flip back to Matthew 26 and look at verse 2. Matthew 26, verse 2. And he says here, and ye know that after 2 days, so we're within 2 days of Christ's death, after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. He's going to die in 2 days, what he calls here 2 days. And so I guess one of the things I wanted to look at, what's so special about that day in 2 days? And to do that, we're going to look at two things. One, I'm just going to mention very briefly because we've talked about this. I know it seems like a century ago, but way back when we were in the birth, in the genealogies at the beginning of Matthew 1, we went into this, into the Daniel's time schedule. I'm not going to redo that. I'm just going to mention that briefly so we see some of the wonder of what's going on here with his death on the cross and the day that that's done. But more importantly for today is what day did Christ's death actually occur on? Of course, tradition says Friday, and we're going to take a look at that and see what we can piece together from the scriptures. So first, I'm just going to very casually talk about Daniel's time schedule here. I guess we could go back to Daniel 9. Let's go ahead again, keep your finger in Matthew 26. We'll end up back there. Daniel 9. And this is the 70 weeks. Remember, 70 weeks of years. That's 70 times 7, 490 years. I guess let's pick it up at verse 24 for the background. And again, I'm not going to go into every detail of this. I just want to show something that chronologers have demonstrated about the day Christ dies on. That's all we're really going for today, not getting into every nitty-gritty detail of these prophecies. But we'll pick it up at Daniel 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring an everlasting righteousness to seal up the vision of the prophecy and to anoint the most holy king. I guess it'd be a good idea to go back to our time schedule here. Here we are with Daniel. He's in the Babylonian captivity. Remember, he's one of the ones who've been carried off. He's up there in Babylon, and he's reading the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah came just before him, just before that Babylonian captivity, and Jeremiah actually entered it too, but he was prophesying before that. Daniel's up in Babylon now, and he, roughly 70 years later, he's reading the book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah says the Babylonian captivity is only going to last 70 years. And so Daniel scratches his head and he thinks, we're just about done with 70 years. And he prays to God and asks God to give him the rest of the time schedule. What's going to happen next? And so God's going to give him this 490-year time schedule. That's what's going to be left after that. And he's going to break it up and cover each of these periods we have here. Let's follow through and we can just watch him come by in our timeline here. Verse 25, he's given the 490 years. It's going to go all the way through to this kingdom here, anointing of the king, anointing of Christ as the king. And he's going to break it up into some major groups. Verse 25. Know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 69 weeks. 69 weeks. And so then he says, the street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And after that, he's going 62 weeks. Shall Messiah be cut off. So he's going to go through here. He's going to talk about a time period of 49 years. That's going to, remember, Daniel's here in the Babylonian captivity. Next, he gives a 49-year period, which is Medo-Persian rule. They're allowed to return to the land. A small remnant returns to the land, but they're going to be placed under Gentile rule, and Gentile rule is going to continue all the way to the return of Christ. For Israel. Of course, for us, I know, I'm sure I don't have to reiterate this, the dispensation of grace is not in this time schedule. It's not a part of this. They didn't see it. It's outside that. That's why it's not on our timeline here. And so you're going to have the 49-year Medo-Persian rule. That's going to lead into Gentile control, and God's going to go silent for 400 years. He's going to leave them under Gentile rule. Then, of course, we're going to get into the earthly ministry of Christ. Then that's going to lead into the 7-year tribulation period, which goes into the kingdom. And he's listing that all out here. And the thing I want to point out is verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And I'm not going to do all the math here. I think we've done this in the past, but I'm just going to do a summary comment and then move on to really what we're going to talk about today. According to at least one person who's looked into this, Robert Anderson, in his The Coming Prince, Daniel's times begins in the 20th year of Artaxerxes to rebuild Jerusalem. That's in the Medo-Persian ruler. And March 14th, 445 BC, it ended Passion Week, the week we're talking about here in Matthew 26, April 6, 32 AD, where a total, he comes up with, a total of 173,880 days. And when you compare that, that's the history, when you compare that to Daniel's prophecy was 69 weeks of years, so 69 times 70, and their year's length was 360 days, not like our year length, it was the 360 days, and you come out with it exactly, 173,880 days was the exact day. The 2 days, go back to Matthew 26 in verse 2, the 2 days, in 2 days that Matthew's talking about here is this day. They could have known to the day when Christ was going to be put to death. That's why he has to do it in 2 days. Now, Satan and his cohorts are going to try and change that. Look down at verse 3. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people under the palace of the high priest, which was Caiaphas, and consulted them that they might take Jesus subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day. What did Jesus just say in verse 2? He said it has to be on the feast day. And now you have Satan and his cohorts, this vain religious system, and they say it can't be on the feast day. They're trying to get him to break this prophecy. They're going to try and get him to not fulfill this prophecy. But Jesus says in 2 days it's going to be the 173,880 day, and I have to die and that day. And so it's one of those miracles of prophecy. He is going to fulfill the scriptures. He said he's going to say that a few times. The scriptures are going to be fulfilled. This prophecy is going to be fulfilled in accord with God's plan. And it's not going to be in accord with Satan's plan and the vain religious system. So I just wanted to bring this one out because we're not going to spend any more time on this. This is the wonder of God's word. Hundreds of years before the death of Christ, he prophesied to the day. Now, of course, if you know the day he's cut off, the day he's put to death, you could kind of make some estimated guess, right? You could probably say, well, he was probably about 30 years old, which means he would have been born about 30 years before this. And they could have known, if not the exact date, the rough time that he'd be born. And of course, we know that that's happened. You had Anna in the temple waiting for him. And Simeon in the temple waiting for him. You had the wise men coming from Babylon because that they were reading Daniel's prophecy, no doubt, and arrived here to see come to the king. They could figure out these time things, and it's to the day he's going to be put to death. So this is from a scriptural prophecy standpoint. But what I really wanted to look at today, since this is the Christmas season, and kind of we look more at tradition and things like that, is what is the actual day of Christ's death? And by that I mean we know the exact date, 173,880, from the signing of Artaxerxes' statement there about the rebuilding of Jerusalem. But what was the actual day? Now, tradition tells us it's Friday. So we're going to work from that, and we're going to see that it's not quite that clear. So let's go ahead. First, let's get a couple points. This can be a little convoluted, and you'll see why. But I think if we keep these 3 points in the back of our mind, hopefully we'll be able to follow what we're going to be talking about here. So the first thing is let's just get the time frame for the crucifixion of Christ kind of in the back of our mind. The crucifixion began at 9 a.m. in the morning. He died at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and he's removed from the cross and buried at evening, just before the evening, just before the sunset, I guess would be a better way to say it, just before the sunset. And so just kind of keep that in mind, and we can read that. I have some passages here. Joseph of Arimathea comes and takes the body. You can read about that in 27, verse 57 to 58, at the beginning, just before the beginning of the evening. So kind of keep that time frame in head. He's put on the cross at 9 a.m. He's dead. He gives up the ghost. He dies at 3 p.m. He's taken off and buried before 6 p.m. And you'll see, or sunset. Now, he was resurrected. Now, let's go to the other end of the screen. Resurrected on Sunday, because we know it was after the Sabbath, and Sunday would be the day after the Sabbath, sometime between 6 p.m., which would be our Saturday night, and 6 a.m. Sunday. In that night sometime, he was raised from the dead. How do we know that? I didn't put the verse. Oh, yes, I did. In Matthew 28, we learned that when the women go in the morning, it's just before sunrise. We're going to call that 6 a.m., just before the beginning of the Jewish day. They're there. So he had to have been raised from the dead before that. The tomb was already empty before their day actually begins. Now, probably the most confusing thing of all is that you have to understand Jewish time. We go in our time midnight to midnight. That's a day for us. Usually we think of the day followed by the night. That's not the way the Jews looked at it. They actually went from 6 p.m. It's really sunset to sunset. We're going to use just numbers because I think it's easier to understand. We're going to call it 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. And that's how they ran their day. So just to kind of give you an example, if it's a Wednesday at 1 in the afternoon, that's the same as our Wednesday at 1 in the afternoon. But once you get to 7 o'clock, Wednesday 7 o'clock, which we call Wednesday 7 o'clock, would really be what they consider Thursday. So it gets a little bit confusing. Their Thursday starts at 6 p.m., not midnight. And so their Thursday begins that 12 hours from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. is the nighttime, the evening. And then you have 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. is the day. And it's kind of important to try and kind of get together those things because it's a little different than the way we think of it. And we're so ingrained in thinking that it can be kind of all of a sudden you realize you're kind of stuck in a maze you can't figure out. So, but if you can kind of get hold of the fact that they begin their day at 6, not midnight. And so the next day begins at 6 p.m. It doesn't begin at midnight. And then that has a major effect on how the days for figuring this all come out of play. So the Jewish time switched to the new day at 6 p.m., not the way we do at 12 a.m. Their day went from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m., and their evening was 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., and their day was 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and then the next day and the next evening would come. So they think of their evening first. We tend to think of our day first and our evening second. They thought of their evening first and the day second. So hopefully that makes a little sense. So I have an example here. Wednesday at 4 p.m. is what we would also call Wednesday 4 p.m. But Wednesday 6 p.m. would be actually their Thursday 6 p.m. because they started at 6, whereas we don't start the next day till midnight. Hopefully that makes sense. And if we kind of look through here now and see this, it'll have an impact on some things. Now, what is the one thing that kind of causes some confusion here? Jesus has expressed his death in a couple different ways. We've seen this a couple times. Jesus' sayings about the duration of his death. Let's flip back to Matthew 12. It's just a couple pages here. Go back to Matthew 12, and let's see one way he described his how long he was going to be dead and buried. Matthew 12, verse 40. Matthew 12, verse 40. He's talking about the sign of Jonas here. And again, we're not going to get into all the details. I just want to see how he expresses his death and the time frame for his death and resurrection. Verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So there, he seems to be pretty explicit. He's going to spend 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Well, you know, if you have a Friday death and burial, there's no way you can come close to 3 days and three nights in the tomb. Let's look at another saying Jesus has. Flip on the way back to Matthew 26, stop at Matthew 16. And we'll see the more common way he talks about his death and resurrection. Go to Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Well, that gives you a little more leniency than 3 days and three nights and 3 days, because you could do 3 days with only two nights, right? It could change the time frame a little. So we have two sayings of Jesus that need to be taken into consideration, both of which really rule out a Friday death and burial. No matter how you count the days, you can't really match either of these two sayings with a Friday death and burial and a Sunday being raised from the dead. So let's just look at it. Let's work through this a little bit using an example. There's a couple ways you can take these sayings. One, you can take them absolutely literally. In that case, when you say 3 nights and 3 days, you mean 3 consecutive 12-hour evenings and 3 consecutive 12-hour days, a minimum of 72 hours, 3 days and 3 nights. If you think of being raised again on the third day, for that, it would require at least 3 days, because you got raised on the third day, and 2 nights. You'd need at least 2 nights. Either way, both would require a death and burial of Wednesday. That's the only way you can make them line up. And so I put through here, if you follow the bottom part of this point here, point five, it kind of brings this out, and you can follow along in the counting, and we'll see if we can make it as simple as possible. But if you are on Wednesday afternoon, remember, he died. We made this point earlier. He's put on the cross at 9 a.m. He died at 3 p.m., and he was buried before 6 p.m., before the sunset, before the sunset. And the reason for that was because the next day would be a Sabbath day. And we'll get into that in a minute. So you have, if you take Jesus' saying absolutely literally, you would have the first night would be what we would call Wednesday night, which is really the Jewish Thursday night. You'd have Thursday night. He'd be buried and buried on Wednesday afternoon. He's still buried Thursday night and Thursday day, Friday night and Friday day, Sunday night and Sunday, or Saturday night and Saturday day. And that would work out to 3 days and three nights. It would have to be a Wednesday burial. And if you don't allow for partial days or anything, that's the only way you get a full night and Thursday day, Friday night and Friday day, Saturday night and Saturday day. And then he was raised from the dead Sunday night between 6 p.m. Saturday and 6 a.m. Sunday. And so you could do it. You could, if it was a Wednesday death and burial, it would be 3 days. And if you take Jesus' saying completely and absolutely literally, that's the only way you could get to 3 days and three nights, a Wednesday death and burial. So because he'd be raised sometime between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. on Sunday. All right, but if there's a Friday burial, which is what tradition says, the Friday burial just before 6 p.m. on Friday and resurrection just before 6 a.m. on Sunday would only be 36 hours. It wouldn't match that. You couldn't make that fit, allowing for only one full day, that's Saturday evening and Saturday day. If he was buried on Friday just before sunset, or right at sunset. That would give them Friday night. Excuse me. See, I even after doing this forever, I get my days mixed up. It would be our Friday night, but that's, of course, in Jewish time, Saturday night, Saturday day, and he'd be raised during the night of Sunday. It just wouldn't add up. There's no way it would fit either of the ways Jesus describes his burial. So neither of those things would work. It'd be a total of 2 days, one partial, one full, and 2 evenings, one partial and one full. So that just doesn't work. So there's another way. How do you get around that problem then? How is there another way to look at this? And to get around this problem, what most people do is they say that you don't have to take Jesus's words absolutely literally, especially when people talk about days and time. They can be talking idiomatically, the way we do it all the time, just common everyday talk. And so they will say it shouldn't be taken absolutely literally, but as he speaks idiomatically. We've seen Jesus do this. You just think of the parables. He uses hyperbole. He uses all kinds of ways to make his point. When we talk commonly in everyday life, we talk about days and time, and we don't mean literally 12 or 24-hour periods. So this would be in accord with common everyday speech. It's the way everyday people talk. And if you, and that would allow for the use of partial days. And we could think of an example of this. If I say I'm going to be home for 3 days, your first thought isn't I'm going to get there at starting on Wednesday, let's say. Your first thought isn't going to be that I got there at midnight and the end of Tuesday, midnight Tuesday, and stayed through midnight Wednesday, midnight Thursday, and midnight Friday, I left the home. You're not going to think that. You wouldn't take it that literally, that I was going to be there for 3 consecutive 24-hour periods. You would just take it as simple, I'm going to arrive sometime on Wednesday, I'm going to be there Wednesday, Thursday, and I'm going to leave sometime on Friday. It doesn't have to be a necessarily 24 strict hour periods. And if I said I was going to be there 3 days and 3 nights, well, you'd say, well, then I'm going to get there sometime on Wednesday, and I'm going to leave sometime on Saturday. And that's another way, that's a common sense, that's everyday speech. We talk like that all the time. And some people suggest that's the way we should take Jesus's words. Even in our passage, if you go back to Matthew 26, that's the way he uses the words days here. In Matthew 26, verse 2, ye know after 2 days. He talks about 2 days there. He's not talking. He's not saying if you start the counter at the next day period, it'll be 2 days after that. He's just saying the day after tomorrow. He's not saying it has to be an explicit 12-hour evening, a 12-hour day, 12-hour evening, 12-hour day, then this is going to happen. It's not a literal, he just means the day after tomorrow, this is going to happen. So even with our own passage, he's using terminology that way. So what would that do? What if that allows us to use partial days, where if he's on the cross, if he's dead and buried before 6 p.m., that actual is a partial day because it was at the end of the day. It took place in the day, and then we can measure the time after that. So let's think about that for a second. If this is the case, and some of the days and nights can be partial, Christ's death and burial then would be on Thursday. Or it could be Friday, but let's figure out work our way through this logically and see that really even then it only works for Thursday. It won't work for Friday still. So let's take a look at that. If we just look at Thursday, if he's on the cross Thursday day, that would be our Thursday day too. He dies on the cross at 3. He's buried before 6. That would be a partial day because he was dead and buried and during the daytime. How the Jews counted the daytime. So that would be one day, a partial day, but still a day. And then that would be for Thursday night, that's Jewish Friday, Friday night, Friday day, Saturday night, Saturday day, and then Friday, Sunday night which would give you a partial night and a partial day, but you'd have 3 days and three nights. So that's one way you can look at it, and that actually works. That would give you the 3 days. One would be partial, and then you'd have your 2 days and two nights, and then you'd have one partial night, because he was raised sometimes Sunday night from 6 p.m. Saturday to 6 a.m. Sunday. And during that night, he was raised. And we're not told when he was raised. The women got there before sunrise, so it was before 6 a.m., still what the Jews considered night, evening, and we don't know if he was just raised in that moment, or maybe he was raised, at 6:05 the night before, and sometime during that night he was raised from the dead. So you have a partial night there. And that would allow us to use Christ's words, and they would fit for a Thursday burial. So if you're going to take him absolutely literally, it'd really have to be a Wednesday death and burial. If you allow for a partial days, let him speak a little more idiomatically, and where a partial day counted as a day, that would allow you to go to a Thursday. But let's see if it would work yet, even with a Friday. Let's see if we counted from Friday, where that leads us. But if we're Friday still, if he were buried just before 6, you still had that would give you a partial day because it was during the daytime. And he's still buried Saturday night and Saturday day. He's still in the grave, and then he's raised Sunday night between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. And that doesn't add up. You only get 2 days and two nights at the most. And it doesn't work with either of Jesus' sayings, because he said it had to be either 3 days after 3 days or 3 days and three nights. So a Friday, even using the idiomatic use of Jesus' words, still doesn't work for a Friday death and burial. You're still short at least 1 day. It only gives you 2 days, one partial and one full, and two nights, one partial and one full. And this still doesn't work. So Friday is probably, while it's observed by tradition, is probably not, unless there's some other thing that we're not aware of, is probably not the day Christ died and was buried on. It would have to at least be Thursday if you allow for Jesus to use language a little more idiomatically, or it would have to be Wednesday if it was strictly, absolutely literal, the 3 days and three nights. So I guess the question is, why does tradition put this, put Jesus' death on Friday? And probably the only reason I've been able to find, and the reason most people give for this, is something that happens in Mark 15:42. So let's go over to Mark 15:42. Oops, past Mark. Mark 15:42. And we'll just see something that's said here that most people think is the reason maybe that got traditional setting of a Friday, what we call Good Friday, as the day of Jesus' death and resurrection. Mark 15:42. And it was the even. Evening time was come because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath. Now, of course, when you think of the Jewish Sabbath, what do you normally think of? You think it starts at our Friday night at 6 p.m., you know, the whole day thing, what they count a day. They don't go from midnight to midnight. They go from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. So it would start Saturday night for the Jews, would start our Friday night at 6 p.m. It goes from Friday night, 6 p.m., to Saturday night, 6 p.m. That's the weekly Jewish Sabbath. And if you think that he's referring here to the weekly Jewish Sabbath, then the day of preparation for that would be the day before. That would be Friday day. Friday day, and then our Friday night, which is really the Jews' Saturday evening, would kick in, and they would have their Sabbath day. And the day of preparation would be Friday day. Therefore, Jesus must have died on Friday and buried on Friday day, because they needed to have done before the weekly Sabbath, which would have click in at 6 p.m. that day. And that's the only explanation I've seen that really makes sense. But what there's something that's missing from that, though, and that is that in Mark 15, Joseph of Arimathea claimed the body of Jesus just before the Sabbath, it says. But what they do have forgotten is that according to Leviticus and Exodus, the Passover, that week of the Passover, the Passover itself is also considered a Sabbath. It's called a high day, a high Sabbath day. And so when they assumed, when they were talking about the day of preparation before the Sabbath, tradition assumed it was the weekly Sabbath, which would be 6 p.m. Friday to 6 p.m. Saturday, when in fact it was the high Sabbath on the day of Passover, when they celebrated the Passover meal, and the day of preparation would have been the day before that. Not the weekly Sabbath on Friday, but the day before the Passover Sabbath. And we can see that in a couple places. We won't go back to Leviticus, but let's just see how it's talked about in John. Go a few more, a couple more books over here to John 19. John 19. So they're forgetting that according to Leviticus 23, 6 to 8, and John 19, 31, the first day of the Passover, the beginning of the week of unleavened bread, was also considered a special or high Sabbath, and that occurs on Nisan 15th. And of course, on the day of preparation before Nisan 15th would be, of course, Nisan 14th. And that's the exact date that matches up with Sir Robert Anderson's chronology of 173,880 days. So everything falls in line when we look at that whole picture there. But let's look at John 19:31. John 19:31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain on the cross of the Sabbath day. Tradition could think, if John didn't write anything else, you could think he's talking about the weekly Sabbath. This begins Friday night and goes till Saturday at 6 p.m. But look how what John puts in parentheses. For that Sabbath day was a high day. And if you go over to Leviticus, you see that the Passover was a high day. It was a high Sabbath day. So when it talks about the day of preparation before the Sabbath, it's not talking about Friday leading into the Sabbath that begins 6 p.m. Friday night for the weekly Sabbath. He's talking about the high Sabbath of the Passover, and the day of preparation for that would be the day before the Passover celebrated. That's when Jesus died and rose again. So, in other words, the preparation here refers to the preparation before the Passover Sabbath. It's what comes before that. And so that's where most people think tradition kind of got it wrong. They thought that a couple places it says it has to be before the Sabbath, and they assumed he was talking about the weekly Sabbath, which starts Friday night at 6 p.m. And goes to 6 p.m. Sunday, and therefore the day of preparation for that Sabbath would be the earlier in the Friday. It would be the day of Friday. And therefore, he was put to death and buried. And that, but we see, looking at Jesus's comments about the duration of his death, whether you take the 3 days and three nights, or you take the it will be raised again on the third day, it's impossible to make Friday work. It could be Thursday if you take it a little more idiomatically, or if you want to take it absolutely literally, meaning 12 three groups of 12 consecutive evenings, 12 consecutive days and then it would have to be a Wednesday. The only way you can get the days to work out to do that. So my own personal opinion, and again, I just find this more of an interesting topic. It's nothing I'm going to fight anyone over. I just thought it was interesting. What I'm hoping is it kind of introduces the group to this the time frame for this final week of Jesus, and especially these final couple of days. So my own personal opinion is that Jesus, we don't need to take Jesus' words absolutely literally. I think he can be referring to days that aren't full days at partial days, and we can go ahead and count them, which would, in my opinion, make it his death and burial on the day of Thursday, which would be Nisan 14th, the 173,888th day since Artaxerxes signed the paper for the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And that leads into Nisan 15, which is the Sabbath. And Jesus is going to be put to death at the same time they're preparing for the Passover Sabbath. They're preparing and putting to death the lamb that they're going to eat in that Passover. Jesus Christ is going to die at the same time they're putting the lambs to death for their Passover feast. And of course, we'll look at that in the future, the whole Exodus account and all that involves, and the Exodus and the passing over, blood on the posts, and the passing over by the angel of death and all that. And Jesus himself is going to be put to death at the same time they're putting to death the lambs they're going to have. All right, so that's my own personal opinion. Jesus' death, I think we can use partial days as being full days, the way we all talk in everyday speech. But it's okay if you don't think that, that would make it Wednesday. It's still, see, nobody knows exactly what days the Nisan 14 and Nisan 15 fall into. But whatever day you pick, that would be Nisan 14 and Nisan 15. And we can go that route. And if you want to stick with tradition, you can stick with tradition and think it's Friday as well. All right, so let's go ahead and just kind of summarize. Well, how does this impact everything? So now we have all these events that are going to start happening as we go through this chapter. Let's go back to Matthew 16. Matthew 26. Losing track of things here. Matthew 26, and let's pick it up at where we left off here in verse 5. I remember Jesus in verse 2 says, in 2 days I'm going to be crucified. So I suggest here, in my own opinion, trying to work through Jesus' sayings in a couple different ways, that that's probably our Thursday, it would be their Thursday too, 9 a.m. in the morning. He'd be hung on the cross. He'd be crucified. Remember noon, you have the 3 hours of darkness. At 3, he says his final words and gives up the ghost. And with the approach of even, Joseph of Arimathea collects the body and puts him in the tomb. And so that's kind of the events. And now as we go through here, we're going to run into some things that happen. And let's pick it up at verse 17. Remembering that the vain religious system back in verse 5 and verse 4 and 5 is going to try and prevent him from being killed on the Sabbath day. Verse 17, now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, that would be that Passover time. Now the first day of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare thee to eat the Passover? So they're talking about that day of preparation. It's going to be before. What's going to happen here is Jesus is going to eat. Some argue that he's not going to really have the Passover meal. I think he does have a Passover meal, but he's going to eat it a day early. He knows he's not going to be there the next night. He's going to go and he's going to be put to death. So he's going to have this last supper that we begin reading about here in verse 21, as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you that one of you should betray me." They're having this Last Supper now, and that's going to be what the Jews call Thursday evening. Remember, we got to keep, they start their day 6 hours before us, but he's going, it's going to be our Wednesday. And then at 6 p.m., of course, that becomes the Jewish Thursday, and he's going to celebrate that, and he's going to, it's going to be the Wednesday night that he's going to do that, and that's going to be the Jews' Thursday evening, our Wednesday night, Jewish Thursday evening. And they're going to, remember, during that night then, he's going to be crucified the next morning, which would be Thursday morning, at 9 a.m. During the night, he's been betrayed. He goes to the garden. He has his Last Supper. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He goes through those phony trials. He gets betrayed, goes through those phony trials, and they're rushing it through. It's as though at that Last Supper, Jesus is gonna egg Judas on. Whatever thou doest, do it as quickly. He's going to push him along. They're going to knock, because he needs to be crucified in 2 days. And so he kind of eggs Judas on. Do what you're going to do. Don't wait. I got to do this in 2 days. And Judas betrays him that night. Then he goes through those phony trials and he's on the cross the next morning at 9 a.m. That would be 9 a.m. Thursday morning. So he eats the Last Supper. Would be the early in Thursday evening. It'd be what we would call the Wednesday night. Thursday morning, he's put on the cross. 3 p.m., he dies on the cross. And sometime between 3 and 6 p.m., with the rapidly approaching sunset, the rapidly approaching 6 p.m., they have to get him off the cross and buried, lest he mar the coming Sabbath. And again, it's not the weekly Sabbath. That would be over Friday night at 6 to 6 p.m. Saturday. It's the High Sabbath, the Passover Sabbath, that happened that night. And so he's taken down before that, and he's buried before 6 p.m. Thursday day and Thursday afternoon. And there he can be for 3 days, one partial and two full, and 3 nights, one partial and two full. And then he's raised again from the dead at 6 a.m., which would be Sunday evening, what we would typically call Sunday morning, but they call Sunday evening, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. For a partial day and two full nights and a partial night. So hopefully that makes a little bit of sense and didn't bring about more confusing. If you take the notes and work your way, I find using two hands with fingers like I used to do in first grade and go through those days and just do a night and a day, a night and a day, a night and a day, it kind of all falls into place. And understanding that that little shift in the way the Jews describe their day shifting. It wasn't midnight to midnight. It was 6 p.m. to 6 p.m., which makes it a little more convoluted. But the bottom line is that he was probably crucified on, in my opinion, on Thursday, allowing for some use of counting of partial days, maybe on Wednesday, but most likely not on Friday. And that will allow us then to establish the schedule as we go now through the rest of the book here. And next we're going to take a look at that Last Supper and see how that fits into all this.